Hallelujah. Well, we're going to celebrate Christmas in a few weeks, and Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus. Now, we all know that he wasn't born on December 25th, but it's just the day that back in the day they picked, and we're just celebrating the fact that he came, amen? But in the next few weeks, we'll see how long it takes. I want to go over some of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he came. And what's really cool about that is the statistical, mathematical analysis of him coming and the probability of him fulfilling all of the prophecies that he did is astronomical. There's like 48 main ones, and then he had other ones that he fulfilled. But listen to this, because I think this is awesome. And there was a mathematician by the name of Peter Stoner, and he said that the probability of Jesus fulfilling 8, now 48 on, but 8, the probability was 1 to the 17th power. You know what that means? You put a 1 and then you put 17 zeros on the end of it. And that was the probability. So from the standpoint, is Jesus who he said he was? The probability, even from a mathematical formula, is absolutely yes. Absolutely. We don't need that particularly, but it's kind of fascinating. And we're going to go through some of those prophecies. But let me just give you an analogy. And many of you might have heard this before, this type of analogy. But I'm going to use this building for the starting point. Okay, here's this building. We're going to put somebody out in the other room. We're going to blindfold them. And we're going to fill this room with silver dollars 2 feet high. All over this room. The probability of him, that person coming blindfolded and picking the one coin that's different than any else is astronomical. Probably wouldn't happen, right? Well, let's take that analogy, because that's not what we're talking about. Just fulfilling 8. If you took that same 2-foot stack of silver dollar coins and you filled the entire state of Texas and you started at the Oklahoma border with Ken over here blindfolded, the probability of him finding that one coin, he could only pick up one, that one coin is the same as the 10 to the 17th power.
All things are possible.
Well, all things are possible, but not very probable. So what I'm telling you is we go through this, and when we go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, every time we list another one, it's inserting the fact that he absolutely had to do it. You know, one thing could happen, that could be a coincidence. Two things could happen, well, that could be a coincidence. But when 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and up to however many, it's just amazing. And just let me say this, it's really interesting because while the disciples were with Jesus, I don't think they had a clear picture of him fulfilling the prophecies. I mean, some of the things he pointed out, but after he went to the cross, died, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, it said they studied, they scoured the scriptures. And can you just imagine them going through Genesis and go, yeah, he did this. And they go through Isaiah and they go, wow, he did this. And come on, and Micah, wow, he fulfilled this. Jesus did all of those things. And so it's a fascinating look at it. But the gift that we've been given in Jesus is kind of an interesting thing to think about. But go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to start with the first one. You know the story of Genesis, how God made everything, and he put man in the garden, and then he said, man, it's not good that you're alone. I'm going to give you a woman. And he gave him Eve, and then they ate of the tree, the only tree, think about that, they're like most of us. At least some of the kids that I knew growing up. If you wanted certain of my friends to do something, all you had to do is tell them, don't do that. Or you can't do that. Or you shouldn't do that. And they were on it. They were going to do it. They were going to figure out a way. So Adam and Eve are in the garden, and God said, look at all the trees. You can eat of any of the trees. You know, everything is for you. And it was just beautiful and massive. Isn't that something? But they said, this one tree, don't eat of it. One tree. But they did. So they fell. Now look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And the Lord's talking to the woman, and he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, God is prophesying that he's going to send Jesus. Because watch this, women have eggs, they don't have seed. Right? I mean, biologically, the male has the seed. But he said, your seed. In other words, it's going to come from within you, not from outside of you. And it was the beginning of the picture and the testimony or the prophecy that Jesus would fulfill. And, of course, that was fulfilled. Well, actually, go to Isaiah chapter 7. Let's look there first. We're going to be skipping all around tonight. But Isaiah chapter 7. I think it's fascinating. And again, as I was studying this out, I was just going, God, you're so good. And his word is so good. And you can trust his word. The enemy will try to put doubt in your word, but when we establish what we're going to establish tonight, it's like, there's no way that it's not true. It has to be true if Jesus did this. Look at Isaiah 7 and verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. We'll look at that a lot tonight, but the seed of a woman, a virgin, gave birth to a son. Now we look at that and we go, oh yeah, you know, we all know that. We sing the songs and about Christmas time and born of a virgin and all of that. But think about the reality of that. Think about if you were Mary. The Holy Spirit comes to you and says, you're going to bear a son. Mary said, a son? I don't know a man. I've never been with a man. She didn't know about Isaiah chapter 7. Right? But the God said to her, said, Holy Spirit's going to come and give you the seed. So watch this. The prophecy that was started in Genesis is now being revealed in Isaiah. A virgin shall give birth. That's impossible. But yet Jesus was born of Mary, who never knew a man before Jesus came. Why is that important? Well, I'm glad you ask. It's important because the bloodline runs through the male. The bloodline runs through the male. And Jesus, if he was going to be the one who took our sins, had to be a spotless lamb or a spotless sacrifice, or a sacrificial lamb that wasn't tainted. And if his bloodline wasn't pure, going back to his father, he couldn't have been the perfect lamb, right? So Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that was in Genesis and that was in Isaiah, because Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Now, there are many teenagers and things that have purported that there have been virgins when they got pregnant, but we know that it's not true. But this one was true. Glory to God. And Let's just look at this. We're going to look at the scripture, and then we're going to look at where it was fulfilled. But go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Glory to God. So how many people have heard people, or maybe even had people come up to you and say, you know, the Bible is just a book. You know, it's just a book of fairy tales, and it's really not for today. The Bible is a supernatural book. And what we're talking about tonight is something that gives it so much credence that this is impossible without God handing through it. And the Bible itself is 66 books written by many different authors, and yet the theme of the whole thing points to Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the Word. Jesus fulfilled the Word. It's so, so good. So Matthew chapter 1, and look at verse 21. Let's talk about Joseph and Joseph's encounter. Come on, just think about Joseph for a minute. Lord, she's pregnant. I'm just going to put her away privately. Nobody will know. I mean, I'm not going to. And God said, no. The child that she has is of me, and you're going to take care of things. Verse 21. And then he arose and took the young child and his mother and into the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning. Wait, that's not the right one. Let's go up back a little bit. Anyway, you know the story. That Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he was born of a virgin. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's try that. Glory to God. Sometimes my pen isn't obedient. It's always my pen's fault that this happens, right? Look at verse 26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the matter, what matter of greeting this was. Now just think about this. Think about this for a minute. How many believe you're blessed? How many have ever heard said you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? We're blessed people. Blessed, blessed, blessed. If people come up and ask me, how are you? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But watch this. Being blessed does not necessitate the fact that you won't have troubles. Amen. That you won't have struggles. Amen. But you're going to be blessed in the midst of the struggle. Because again, Mary being blessed by God to be the mother of the Savior of the world, she was blessed. She was highly favored among God. But watch this. The minute that she said, I'm pregnant, shame came upon her. And you'll see throughout her life, there was different periods where she had to go here and she had to go this and she had to watch her son on the cross being tortured and you know, just awful things, right? But she was blessed. Why am I saying that? I'm just saying that so if you're going through rough periods, it doesn't mean you're not blessed. It probably means that God's got his blessed hand upon you and you're having to go through things, but you're going to be better off on the other side. Amen? Glory to God. So, and then verse 30, it says, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. That means Savior. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Look at this. Genesis has been revealed. The prophecy Jesus fulfilled in these verses. Amen. Is that awesome? Amen. So God in the Old Testament, years and years before, said this is going to happen. How many have been, let's just say, disappointed because you heard a prophetic message and it didn't happen in a week? It didn't happen in 2 weeks. It didn't happen in 10 years. Don't give up, because God is still on the throne, and he'll still see to it. If he really spoke it, it's going to come to pass. Amen? It's going to come to pass. It will happen. So you just have to trust him and continue to rejoice in what he said. Let's go to the second prophecy that he fulfilled. And this is found in, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Born in Bethlehem. So go to the book of Micah. And Micah 5:2. Micah is on page 1346. Old joke, it still works. And listen to what he says in Micah 5:2. He said, "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrath, through you are little among, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me one, the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are of old, from everlasting to everlasting." So he said the Messiah is going to come out of Bethlehem. Out of Bethlehem. And it says Bethlehem had no significance. It wasn't a big metropolis. It wasn't the spiritual hub that Jerusalem was. But watch this. People read over this just as you and I have read over it several times, I'm sure, in the Old Testament was read in the synagogue and everything. But they did not equate this necessarily to the Messiah. But after the apostles read it, after Jesus came, wait a minute. Where was Jesus born? Man, he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. And you remember the story, but let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Just happened to be a census taken up. And because Joseph was of the lineage, they had to go back to the town that he was prescribed to be counted, okay? And watch this now. In this is so cool. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Jesus was born in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy of Micah. Isn't that something? So here's two, right? We're two. Again, remember the chances of it happening, even eight of them, was 1 to 10 to the 17th power. And Jesus has already fulfilled two. That could be coincidental, right? A lot of people were born in Bethlehem. Not many were born of virgins, but come on. A lot of people were born in Bethlehem. But Jesus fulfilled that. Isn't that awesome? So cool. Now the next one, watch this. He'd spend time in Egypt. Jesus would spend time. So the Messiah is going to be born a virgin, going to be born in Jerusalem, but at some point in his life, he's going to spend time in Egypt. Now, where is that found? In Jeremiah chapter 2, go back to Jeremiah. Y'all getting something tonight? Amen. I wouldn't necessarily tell you that tomorrow all your heathen friends go, hey, look, Jesus is a real deal. I can prove it to you mathematically. But somewhere in your arsenal, this should give you confidence, but it should also be there. You know, somebody comes up to you and says, well, how do you know that Jesus was really the Messiah? Well, let me tell you, there's not just one thing, but there's many things. There's a book, and it's called The Case for Christ. Anybody heard of that book? It's called The Case for Christ. And what happened was this reporter and he was an investigative reporter. He dug into facts to build a case or, you know, dispute a case. And what happened was his wife got saved, but he was an atheist. And he said, I'm going to prove that this is not right. And so he went to several different sources and compiled the evidence. You know, he went into it with the way a reporter is supposed to, unobjectively, right? He's supposed, I'm going to build a case based on the facts. And the book, The Case for Christ, came out of that investigation. The bottom line is he got saved because the facts led to the fact that Jesus is who he said he was. He is the Messiah, and God sent him for my sins. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. Now, I've received Jesus by faith. You've received Jesus by faith. But our faith isn't built on nothing. Our faith is built on facts. And Jesus, the Messiah, was born of the Virgin, fulfilled all of these prophecies from the Old Testament. Again, Jeremiah chapter 2, and look at verse 6. Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of pits, and through the draught of the shadow of death, though a land that no one crossed, where no one dwelt. It's talking about Jesus. Now look at Hosea. Go to the prophet Hosea. And we're going to go to Hosea 11. Hosea 11. Yeah, that's the part where you don't read very much and it's kind of hard to find. Hosea 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. I called my son. Jesus was going to spend some time in Egypt. Now watch. Look at Matthew chapter 2 again. I told you we'd be flipping all over. And verse 13. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, it says this. Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother to flee Egypt, and stay there till I bring word for you. Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother, and they departed for Egypt. So, and we're going to see that it was prophesied before that there would be a great massacre at the time of Jesus' birth. And some scholars say he was probably like 2 years old when this happened. But the angel came to Joseph, take him out of here, but it fulfilled what we read about in the Old Testament. Isn't that amazing? So we're just at three. Just at three. But Jesus fulfilled all of them. Think about this. If somebody, your mom or your dad, had a dream before you were born, and here's the events that were going to happen to you. And so they're talking with one of their friends, and they said, well, you know, I'm going to have a son born. He's going to be born, you know, in November, on the 12th of November. And these events are going to happen in his life, and I just want to prophesy them to you. And somebody on the outside looking going, whoa, she said he would do that at age six. She said he would do that at age 8. She said that that's what he would do when he was graduating from high school. She said, you'd go, wow, that's something very, very special. Come on. Jesus fulfilled every one of these prophecies, which seals in us and again establishes in our faith that God who promised is faithful. And we can take his word and we can grab his word and we can say, listen, this word is absolute truth in Jesus' name. How many believe the Bible is the word of God? Right? How much confidence do you have in that? Well, tonight I'm trying to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm trying to establish your faith on stronger evidence than maybe you knew in the past. Here it is in the Old Testament. Here it is fulfilled in the New. Isn't that awesome? And look at this. He was born in Bethlehem. And we saw that was prophesied. He spent time in Egypt, but the Old Testament declared that the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Seems a little funny. I mean, how is that possible? He was born here, he went there, but he's going to be called a Nazarene. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. The book of Isaiah in the 11th chapter. You know, God is the same God who's always been, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many have ever been touched by the Spirit of God? How many have ever had their bodies healed by the Spirit of God, right? He's the same. Well, he's the same tonight. Amen? Glory to God. Is anybody in here suffering from a headache tonight? Your head's pounding a little bit. Anybody? Nobody? Jack is? Praise God. Father, we just pray for Jack right now. We command his head to be made whole. We command that headache to go right now in Jesus' name. We refuse to put up with what Jesus has paid the price for. So we thank you, Lord, for healing Jack in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 11 verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and from the branch shall grow from his root. And the Spirit of the Lord. Hang on a minute. The Spirit of the Lord. And the, I haven't got the right verse. Anyway, you're going to have to take my word for it. But I will get the right verse and come back to it. But he was called a Nazarene. Go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Oh, excuse me. 23. We'll start in verse 22. But when they heard that the Archelaus was reigning over Jerusalem instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. But being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And they came and dwelt in the city of Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Hang on just a minute. Isn't that something? That's so good. That's so good. Hallelujah. So he shall be called a Nazarene. And the fifth thing, again, we alluded to it, but there would be a massacre at the birthplace of children. In other words, where Jesus was born, the region that he's born, there would be a massacre of children. Look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah Jeremiah 31. Why is this so important? It's important because the more that we know it, the more that we can get an understanding of it, the more confidence that we can have. Not that we need to have a lot of more confidence. Our faith is already there, but I think we can build on our faith. Amen. We can make it stronger. We can have a deeper understanding. So when people try to talk you out of it, when people try to tell you, don't take it so seriously, when people try to dissuade you, you could go, wait a minute, I just got to tell you, it's too late. It's too late because I know what I know. I know what I know. In Jeremiah 31, and verse 15, it says, thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be confronted for her children because they are no more. And Ramah's talking about the place where God was, where Jesus was born. And this was fulfilled when you know, Herod. See, here's what happened. Is Herod was so jealous that there was another king. And when the wise men came and said, you know, we saw the sign. There's a king. Where's the king of Israel? And he got jealous and he said, well, listen, you go find him. But when you come back, report to me because I want to worship this king also. But what he wanted to do is kill this kid so that he wouldn't take his place. And when he was double-crossed by the wise men, he said, listen, where'd they say he was from around this area? Just kill all the kids from 2 years old and under. Think about that. Think about that for just a minute. All the mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters, all of those kids wiped out. But this was to fulfill what God had promised or foretold of back here in the Scripture. Isn't that something? So again, he was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem. He spent time in Egypt. He was called a Nazarene, and there was a massacre at his birthplace of children. So come on, that's five already. The dollar bills are getting, silver dollars are getting higher as we speak, right? And it's getting harder and harder to dispute the fact that Jesus is the one who fulfilled all of these. Jesus is Lord. I said, Jesus is Lord. His name would be called Emmanuel. Go to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Hallelujah. And verse 14. We've already read this, but listen again what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God came to be with us. It was prophesied, and it was fulfilled. And again, we've already read it in Matthew chapter 1. He told Mary and he told the shepherds, and his name will be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name will be called Emmanuel. God with us. Come on. It was prophesied, and when Jesus came, he was born of a virgin, so his father was God in heaven, because he is God, right? And he's the perfect sacrificial lamb, but he fulfilled what was prophesied in the Old Testament. Here's six. We're up to six already. Six. Glory to God. And we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Seven was that there would be a messenger who would prepare the way. Let's go to Isaiah again. Isaiah and chapter 40. Isaiah 40. There would be a messenger who would prepare the way. I like to say it this. Have you ever seen a movie or whatever, and when a king or a dignitary was coming through, they'd have a trumpet blasting the horn, you know? And when I worked in the shipyard, if the captain of the boat came, say the boat was named Kingfish, you know, and the captain was coming up the game plank, there would be a doo-doo, Kingfish arriving. It was to announce that the captain was there, or Kingfish departing, he was leaving. And so it said that there would be somebody, a messenger who had come before preparing the way. Isn't that awesome? And Isaiah 40, let's look at verse 3. And the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for a God. And every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Who is that? John the Baptist. Absolutely, it was John the Baptist. And look at Malachi. Malachi is the last book before Matthew. Malachi and chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare a way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you shall delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. I'm sending a messenger. Did God do this? Absolutely. In Matthew chapter 3, go to Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. And listen to this. We'll start in verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. So John was the one who was prophesied in the Old Testament that would be right before Jesus. Is that something? And it happened. We're up to 7. So Texas is getting full. Right? It's way up there with silver dollars. And Ken's going to get blindfolded and go and find that one. I think it's in Houston, but some say it's in Dallas. Others say it's in the Hill Country. Some others say it's in El Paso, but nothing good comes out of El Paso. And Amarillo. The panhandle up there, woo, glory to God. I knew a family from Amarillo. One of the people we went to a Bible school with was from there. And I went water skiing, and his brother was there. And his brother happened to be in the Navy for a period of time. And he was stationed in all places in Portland, Oregon. You know, I'm from up here, so I'm kind of prejudiced about how beautiful I think it is up here. And so he said, we were talking, he says, yeah, he said, man, I wasn't going to make a career out of the Navy. As soon as I couldn't wait to get back to, to Amarillo, or, you know, it was actually above Amarillo. I went, are you nuts? But that's what he was used to. That's where he was born from, so. Interesting. So Matthew chapter 3, I think we just read that, and verse 3. And then look at verse 11. And indeed, I baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, even up to the last moment, there was a prophecy that was given by John about who was coming. And Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is a real. So when you're reading this book, think about it for just a minute and go, whoa, just let your mind be blown. Whoa,
Whoa, is that really true? Whoa,
that's crazy. That's awesome. And there's many other scriptures that talk about that. And the eighth one that I'm going to talk about tonight is that he would be from the lineage of Abraham. Now, before we go back there, and you can turn to Genesis chapter 12, but watch this. Have you ever, you know, started in Matthew, right? And you start in chapter 1, and you go, this one begat that one that begat this one that begat that one that begat. And you say, man, I just got to read through this to get through it, right? Numbers and some of the other books are like, oh, this one had a son, and that one had a son, and my gosh, this one had 10 sons, and this one, you know. And you think, why is that in there? It's very important that it's in there because it proves back to the promise or the covenant or the prophecies that were fulfilled. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, he says this, and I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who bless you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, through Abraham, all families on the earth were going to be blessed. Now, how is that going to be? What he was talking about is the fact that through Abraham, the promised Messiah was going to be born. And it would not just be for Israel, it would be for all Gentiles and Israelites. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And watch, go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to go there. Matthew chapter 1. You know, when I'm reading through some of those books that I'm just going, this one begat that one that begat this one, that I by faith say, now, Holy Spirit, all Scripture is inspired. And all Scripture is there for my edification. And so I just said, Lord, I'm going to get something out of every one of them. And look at it. It says, this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then he goes all the way through, and it gets to his lineage to prove that he was of the lineage of Abraham. Glory to God. So he fulfilled what was said there. Go to Romans chapter 9, book of Romans in the 9th chapter. And look at verse 4. It says, who are Israelites to whom pertain adoption, the glory, the covenants, all giving the law of the service of God and of the promises, of whom are the fathers, from whom according to the flesh Christ came, who is over all the eternal blessed God. Amen. In other words, Jesus was from the fathers. His lineage goes back. Now again, Jesus had to be of that lineage in order for him to be qualified because of the Old Testament prophecies to be the Messiah. But he was. He fulfilled all of it. From your seed, all the nations will be blessed, and they were. Now, here's a really important one. Go to Galatians chapter 3. They're all important, but Galatians chapter 3. We'll wrap up here in a few minutes, but Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse 29. Well, actually, I'm going to read a little bit more. Verse 23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, for the faith which would be afterwards revealed. Therefore, as the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you are Christ. Then you are Abraham's seed according to heirs of the promise. So God promised Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, but he fulfilled it through Jesus. And it's another one of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So here's the eight, and we're going to look at more next week. But here's the eight that fills Texas with silver dollars 2 feet high. Have you ever driven through Texas? I mean, have you ever gone from the east all the way to the west of Texas? It takes all day. It's like going through Wyoming or Montana, right? It's 2 feet high, silver dollars everywhere. There's not a spot in Texas that doesn't have a stack of two feet high of silver dollars. Go take with a blindfold. Start walking at the Arkansas border, you know, in the Louisiana border there, and just traverse across and pick out that one. That's how incredible what we're talking about tonight is. Jesus fulfilled all of those. He was born out of prophecy. Christmas is about the fact that God came and dwelt among us. And not just that, but that God was the promised seed of a virgin, but that seed was for me. And now I am a son of Abraham according to the promises that through all of the earth will be blessed through his seed. That's me. That's you. Because Jesus fulfilled what the prophecy said. Is that awesome? If you wanted to be technical of it, isn't it interesting? Some names that you get, Jacobson, Anderson, all of the son names, right? Johnson, right? Johnson, where did those come from? They came from John's son, right? In other words, there was once a John, and he had a son, and now he's John's son. And John was the head of the family. So from then on, even if you were the great, 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 great grandson of John, you were still John's son. Right? So because of Jesus, Abraham was many, 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 many generations ago, but now I'm his son because Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, and he is my Messiah. He is the one that I believe in that made me a partaker of the divine nature. Come on. It's so good. And what did I have to do to get involved in it? What did I have to do to become Abraham's son? Because I'm not Jewish, right? I'm a good old Irish boy with a bunch of other stuff mixed in, right? Because most Americans, you say, what nationality are you? Well, you know, I'm Irish, but I'm a quarter this, I'm a third that, and we're all mutts, right? We're all mutts. But the reality is the moment that I got saved, my nationality changed. Because I'm no longer a citizen of this earth, but I'm a citizen of heaven, and I'm a son of Abraham, and I'm a partaker of his promise because of what Jesus fulfilled in the Scripture. Woo! Glory to God. This is exciting stuff. This is who I am. I just one story, and I'll close. An acquaintance of mine, really was a teacher back in the day. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he got saved out of a family that, you know, the grandfather was a womanizer, his dad was a womanizer, he was married to his mom, you know, his dad had several affairs going way back. And so this guy got saved and he was walking with God and he had, had a godly wife and all of that. All of a sudden he got this thought. You know, your dad was a womanizer. Your grandpa was a womanizer. You know, you could follow in their lines. You know, it would be really easy for you to, you know, fall into that temptation. And he said he just started laughing. He said, "That's not my bloodline. My bloodline is through Jesus Christ, and I have a new DNA that's flowing in my body, and my Father is the Father in heaven, and the Father in heaven is not a cheat, is not a, come on, woo, glory to God." So we have to have, when we're fighting temptation, when we're fighting habits or something that seems to be cross-generational, we go, wait a minute, stop the bus, that's not me. Because I severed that when I became born again, when I asked Jesus to become Lord of my life. I'm no longer just Jack's son. My Father is the Father in heaven. Amen? You get anything tonight? Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for sending Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for giving us confidence in your word by Jesus fulfilling everything that you said he would fulfill. And Lord, tonight, if there's anybody out there who has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, tonight's your night. Just, I want to be a partaker of that. I want to have God as my Father. I want that. All you have to do is by faith say, "Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. No one else has fulfilled all of those prophecies. So I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come fill me with you, your Spirit, and teach me about you," and he'll do it. But you've got to come by faith, and you've got to make him Lord. If you did that tonight, you're saved. Give God the glory. Father, we thank you for everybody that's here, everybody that's watching, and we ask you, Lord, to just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Amen.